I just think if you have that content already, why aren't you using that functionality within YouTube?
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focus podcast. If you're not familiar with our format, well, each month we focus on a different marketing method. Could be email or SEO or Facebook ads. And each week I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making it work for you. This month we are all about SEO, and we're doing a bit of a curveball episode, I suppose, this time. We are talking about YouTube SEO, which of course impacts both your visibility on YouTube and your visibility on Google search too. We have so much to cover in this episode that I wanted to do the why bit. Rather than get my guest to do the why should you care about YouTube SEO, I thought I'd do it in this intro. So, why should you care about your YouTube channel, about your YouTube videos, and making them more findable by using YouTube SEO? So I've stolen these stats from our guest website. YouTube is the web's second largest search engine with over 2 billion global monthly users. So there's plenty of people there. YouTube is the number one platform for consuming video and is more popular than Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Pinterest. It's more popular than all of those platforms. So well worth being there to help your customers make their buying decisions. Every day, over 1 billion hours of content is watched on YouTube, with individuals watching more YouTube content than live TV. It's more popular than telly, and you can get on it organically. How cool is that? YouTube has a broad audience with widespread demographics, ideal for reaching new and multiple audiences. There's plenty of segments to go after. And 96% of internet users have watched content on YouTube. You definitely can't say that for TikTok, okay? It just doesn't have that level of penetration. And this is the most important thing for you guys, is 90% say they discover new brands and products via YouTube. It's where they're going to start their shopping journeys or to continue their shopping journey. So you'd be crazy not to be there. We're not going to be talking about creating videos in this. We're talking about how you get your videos seen. So we're talking, and we're not talking about ads either. We're talking about YouTube SEO, what it takes to appear organically and get views organically. And there's loads of cool, simple stuff. And none of it, apart from shorts, involves editing any videos or creating any new videos. Okay, make sure you listen right to the end of the episode, because at the end, my guest is sharing some quick fire insider tips to help you maximize your performance even more. And then I'll be sharing my take on it all and outlining a couple of other free ways we can help you to improve your SEO even more. So stay tuned to the end. Remarkable Commerce is the UK's most flexible and configurable e-commerce platform, designed specifically for D2C retailers who want to grow their sales quickly. They're trusted by leading retailers like Moss, Ben Sherman, and Roman. Remarkable's key differences are full freedom of your front-end design and full control of which composable modules you wish to use. Very excitingly, they've just released this year's Digital Retail Index, a performance audit of nearly 800 UK retailers, ranking them by key technical metrics. To find out where you're ranked or submit your own site for analysis, go to keepopt.com/remarkable. That's REMARKABLE. So keepopt.com/remarkable for the Digital Retail Index. In this episode, I'm chatting with SEO expert Louise Knight. Louise is one of the team at Navigate Video, an award-winning YouTube agency who are focused on helping brands grow on YouTube, including, but of course, YouTube SEO. Hello, Louise.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Really, really excited to have you here to delve into what I suspect for many of our audience is an untapped arena in the SEO space. So thank you so much for being up for talking about it. Before we get into the juicy YouTube SEO tips though, how did you get into SEO? How did you end up in that world?
It's not my normal background. So I had a classic marketing background, working events marketing and sponsorships and corporate sponsorships. And then I had children and I found this lovely job that was really exciting, but offered that flexibility. And then 2 years later, here I am working, still working with the team and really enjoying doing YouTube SEO.
We were talking about this before we came on the podcast. It's one of those things which I suspect most business owners now get an email about maybe every other day going, I can organize your YouTube for you or something. You know, it's like the new SEO spam. So it must be quite interesting doing it properly and legitimately in the space.
Yeah. I also get those emails, which is hilarious, to my work email, which I think is fantastic because it shows they haven't quite taken the time to research me. But it's when they say things like, I can get you a million views, or I can get you a million subscribers. And I think people listening to your podcast will know that SEO, YouTube or normal, doesn't really work like that. It's a longer burn and it takes a lot of time and effort. And, you know, you have to have a plan in place and you have to stick to that plan and test and learn and come back to it. And then you see the fruits of your labor.
So let's tackle likely results before we tell people what they're going to do.
Yes. Okay.
Obviously. So if someone was to take the advice you're going to be giving us in this episode, is it like a start doing it now and in 3 months you'll see some results, in 6 months you'll see amazing results, in a year you'll be flying, or is it slightly different?
It's different for different people and different for different content. I think if we just go back one stage and like talk about why you would do it. Basically, if you're already on YouTube and you have content there, the key thing is if you optimize your YouTube videos, you're wanting to be ranked more highly. And what does that mean? That means you are going to be on people's home feeds, but you're also going to be on loads of other places. So you'll be in Google search results. You'll be on the recommendation panel. At the end of a video, you might be on an end screen. So people might be watching something that your competitor has made and then your video pops up and they can then watch one of yours. So it's like a no-brainer for what you should do. And I think once you do that, you're finding these new audiences. It can actually be a better investment than paid media, because what we find is that if people are putting shed loads of money into getting views or impressions, they're not good views, right? They're empty views. Whereas if you are creating content and the SEO for your videos that is true and something that your audience wants, they're more likely to become a return viewer or a subscriber. And that then gives you authority. It means Google will then see you as a source of authority and then rank you more highly. So it's kind of like a circle of benefits, basically.
Like compounds. It's one of those compounding things. The better your SEO becomes, the more audience you get, the more they watch, and on it kind of spirals up in a really nice way. Okay, cool.
Classic SEO is two things, isn't it? It's doing your keyword research to know who your audience are, what they're actually searching for, and then optimizing, i.e. in a normal SEO stance would be your website. But in this stance is optimizing your videos. So if you are creating content that you know your audience desperately wants to watch, if you've optimized your videos, those videos will be discovered by them. And if they are sharing and commenting and liking and engaging with your content, that's just going to make it even better.
Got you. So it's very similar in approach to what we do on our site. We're looking for the right keywords. We're looking for content that attracts the audience. And then we've got some optimization to do on our videos. When it comes to optimizing the videos, let's talk about that core part of it. What are we optimizing? Is it the metadata like we do on our website? Is it titles? Is it descriptions? Are there any rules around this?
So the algorithm, obviously, nobody knows what the algorithm is, but we know there's the three factors. So it's relevance, watch time and engagement, and quality. And the things that we can control are things like titles, descriptions, tags, end cards, info cards. You could go one step further and do upload specific bespoke closed captions because they get indexed by Google. You could make your thumbnails more appealing, so to kind of stop that scroll in your home feed. You could do things where you can reawaken your subscriber base by seeing YouTube as more of a social channel, so talking to them through the community tab. So there's loads of tactical things that you can control that will have a massive impact on getting your videos delivered and discovered by new audiences.
Got you. So one of those three things is the relevance bit, the keywords, but the other two parts are really about engaging content and encouraging the person to keep watching it.
So what Google does, so if you've done your keyword research and then you create titles and descriptions that has all those keywords in, you're going to get trawled and you're going to be picked up. But the clever thing they do is then if somebody then clicks onto your video and watches your video and then jumps straight off, you will be penalized because basically they're trying to stop clickbait and they want what you have put out there and said your video is They want to see that in the engagement time. So the view through rates, are people watching it all the way through? Or are they commenting on it? And if that is going to happen, then you're being true to what you said you were going to do.
So on that basis, they want people who are A, going to watch the whole of your video and enjoy it, but they're also wanting people who are going to stay on the YouTube platform. So lots of calls to action to go somewhere else. And calls to action, maybe link. Do we put links in the descriptions? Is that bad?
No, that's fine. And actually, it's about keeping it to a minimum. So you put links if you want to add value to the viewer. So if it is something about your product and actually you can go to a product page that gives you more info about that product, that's absolutely fine. And for instance, YouTube give you the chance to do something called info cards. So when you're watching the video, you'll have on the top right-hand corner, like a little button that can either go to another YouTube video, hopefully of your own, or it can go to your website. So it could be like buy now or, you know, find out more or something like that. And those can be changed throughout the video. So you look at the timestamps and you'll be like, okay, this is a good place to put that info card. So YouTube don't mind if you go off, but again, it has to be relevant. So it has to be the right info card at the right time. And it's because YouTube has the audience as king, right? So if you are serving the audience and providing a better experience for them, then that's great.
Got you. So just anyone who's hearing this going, right, we're going to put an info card on everything that says sign up to our newsletter, save 10%. That would be bad.
You want to give them value, right? You want to give your audience value. So if you sold lawnmowers and they were watching a video about a lawnmower, I would say the next video, the info card might be a bit about how to maintain your lawnmower or something that adds value to their consumer journey. My husband always takes the mickey when I talk about marketing funnels, but it's like the marketing funnel, right? You're adding value. It's not always about the sell. It's about trying to get those customers or viewers or audiences to become your advocates. So you are providing value to them.
Got you. So you said something earlier I want to come back to and just clarify. You said about if you do your keyword research, then you add those keywords into all your titles, you'll get trawled. Is that good or bad?
No. So you're basically, trawled might be the wrong word, but they basically scrape all your information that you put on there. So they'll scrape your titles, they'll scrape your descriptions, they'll scrape your transcripts, so like your closed captions, looking for the information so that when somebody searches, how do I update my lawnmower, your video will be served to them because it is the right content for them.
Got you. Okay. So everybody, that means you should be adding your keywords to your titles. It's not a bad thing. Cool. I just wanted to make sure we clarified that one. And then obviously engaging videos is important. Clearly very important. But if we're someone starting on this and they've got a back catalogue of videos sat there, should they be worried about going and re-editing those videos and adding the index cards and the info cards and those elements? Or is it more important to get the text elements, the titles and the descriptions right first?
I think firstly, I would look at what your audience is actually searching for and prioritize what they're searching for first, right? So if you've got hundreds of videos, like in terms of marketing priorities, the time and effort that would take to do all this properly would be massive, right? So I would look at what your audience are looking for and then finding the videos that fulfill those needs and then looking and optimizing those videos. So it's all about, you can give yourself time, right? It doesn't all have to be done in the first week, and improvements are better than where you were when you first started. So don't worry about having to do this all straight away. Videos are one thing, but obviously you've got your channel. So there are quick wins that you can do to your actual channel.
Just before we go on to channel, just want to clarify. So what we're saying is it's better to tackle each video individually, get it right, do everything you can for that video, but don't start at A and work to Z. Start at the best, most relevant video for your audience and then work your way down the list.
Totally agree.
Okay, cool. Let's talk channel, which everybody was the crazy question I was going to pivot us off on earlier, but I thought, no, we needed to tackle videos before we got onto channel. So before we get properly into channel, like on our website, when we're doing website SEO, Google is looking at the whole of the website content and how well that relates to each other, as well as the individual pages. Does that go for the collections and the playlists on our podcast? I was going to say, no, YouTube channel, Chloe, on our YouTube channel too.
Definitely. And I think almost going one step further in terms of channel is a bit different because, yes, there has an impact on rankings and discoverability, but actually it has a massive impact on consumer experience. So what we've had people come to us before and be like, why would I bother with my channel, whatever. But they pride themselves on having an amazing website, amazing shop, and all their email marketing is fantastic and pristine, but their channel does not represent their brand. So we always call it like a digital shop window, and it has to represent your brand. If you're known for certain things, your channel should represent that. So making sure your channel banner is of a standard and tells people about what you do and gives people the information that they're looking for. And, you know, and again, old school, like consumer journey, like, oh God, if you know what people are searching for, why do you have that really good video right at the bottom of your page on a random playlist? Let's think about this really cleverly and say, okay, so if somebody was coming onto my channel, what do we want them to see and what do we want them to experience? So I think it's really important and quite tactical.
And it's quite easy to change things on the channel as well. So there's making our channel presentable so it's driving people to the right content. Is there anything channel specific, any metadata for the channel, any of that kind of content we should be optimizing, or is it really all about the videos?
It's about the videos, but also playlists. So creating playlists, if you have playlists that make sense and create value, and actually the way they know that is because if somebody watches something and then they watch the next thing on the playlist and the next thing, YouTube will say, oh, well, that's a good playlist. You're delivering to that consumer, that audience. Then it helps with your discoverability. So I think, again, it's thinking about your collection of videos in a holistic manner rather than just like bunging it all on YouTube.
Got you. And dumb question here, but there are no dumb questions in marketing, so it's fine. Can a video be in more than one playlist?
Yes. And that's interesting about, because we were talking about podcasts, obviously, because we're on here. So in 2024, Neil Mohan, who is the CEO of YouTube, he has made podcasts one of his priorities. He only has 4 a year or whatever, 4 every 6 months, and podcasts is one of them. And this is a really interesting point because people, so I like listening to Diary of a CEO. He will have a video on a playlist, but he'll also upload that video onto a podcast. So the same video is in two places. And he's just basically allowing the search engine to look at two places. So you're just ticking more boxes and obviously helping people find you.
I can see with your lawnmower's example, if it's the 5, 6, 7, 8 lawnmower, and you've got a video of what the 5, 6, 7, 8 lawnmower is, and then you've got videos of how to look after it, how to cut your grass with it, et cetera, et cetera. You might want to put all that in a playlist to see if you can help the people who really care about the 5, 6, 7, 8 lawnmower. But you might also want to have a playlist of here are all the lawnmowers, which is just those intros. So if we can add that to two playlists, we don't have to spend 3 days debating which one we're going to do. We could just do it and see what happens.
The beauty of it is testing, right? So, I mean, I think everyone, marketing love this, but like test it, see, and like see what happens. And obviously you're going to have a year, and I really don't want to do like, but if it's like Mother's Day, you might want to change up where you put your videos and have like a Mother's Day playlist. You can always change it back if it doesn't work, but why not see? But I've got to do a really good example because GoPro, who are not our client, even though we'd love them to be, they do a cool thing on their YouTube channel where they pull in videos from people on YouTube. So they're not their videos, and their playlist, their like shelf is called what people are saying about our products, or like people using GoPro in the wild. And it's like people's testimonials and how much they love the product. And that is like amazing because people are going onto GoPro and watching somebody else talk about their video, which gives it so much more kind of authenticity. And I just think that's a great, amazing thing to be able to do and have so much of like trust in your own product that people are saying these amazing things and you're willing to put them on your own YouTube channel.
Cool. So we're definitely not to be scared of creating playlists of other people's content if it's right.
If it's good. Yeah, totally. I think it's a great little ad.
Very cool. Evergreen versus new. How important is it to spend our time off, you know, our first X number of hours working on this, X number of weeks working on this, going over our past content or creating new content?
So again, this comes down to your analytics. So if you have got some cool content on there that people are watching and keep coming back to, that's something that you should not shy away from just because it's 3 years old. Like, it's still adding value. And so therefore, it can, you know, just because it's 3 years old doesn't mean that it needs to be put on a, not on a shelf or you know, unlisted. I think, again, it's just key thing is looking at what your customer or audience needs and wants. So, for instance, like with the lawnmowers, there's a lot of evergreen content there, right? Whereas with something that is a bit more like, if you're a sponsor of London Fashion Week, evergreen content might not be as much, because you probably be doing more content. You'll be doing YouTube lives, or you might be doing kind of like the new season. So again, it's looking at your brand and your audience.
Brilliant. So it comes back to the quality of the content again, doesn't it? Focus on the best quality, the most relevant to your audience before you work on anything else.
Sometimes we get people that come to us and said, I have spent lots of money creating this video. It's cost a fortune and now nobody's watching it. And then we're like, okay, well, you need to think of your YouTube SEO before the process, like at the beginning. Obviously, there's a whole amount of work you do with the existing content, right? That's just something that you can do. But there is another bucket. Like, if you have plans to create content, you need to do that research piece. So making sure you know what people want and in what format. So we've got shorts, we've got evergreen, you know, we've got long content, and you don't have to shy away from long content because people love it. And, you know, YouTube in the living room is massive. It's now completely, you know, it's performing better than Netflix now. So if you have that knowledge at the beginning of your creative process, you can create things that will then do well.
Got you. So on that old content and good quality video side of things, if you've got a video, and I'm going to use an example of mine, because I'm going to be selfish for a minute. If I've got a video or from a virtual summit from a couple of years ago, which is currently on YouTube, but which starts with 5 minutes of me waffling on about the agenda of what's coming up before it gets to the guest and the good quality content, obviously that video would work better if we edited me out from the beginning and we just started with, here's this guest who's brilliant at email, and then we go into the actual content. Would you edit that and overwrite the existing video, or would you edit that and set it up as a new one? Do you want it to appear fresh, or do you want to use what's already the history of the existing listing?
So I think there's cheats you could do. Cheats is the wrong word, right? You could do timestamps and chapters. So, and this is a big thing, because if a video is timestamped, people are more likely to stay within your ecosystem, your YouTube ecosystem, because you've provided something that they want. So you're not saying, oh, you have to sit and watch this for the next 45 minutes. You're saying, oh, I know from your search that you just want to look at email marketing, right? So that's at 2:20, and they can tap it and watch just that. And they're more likely to then trust you and come back, and they're, you know, you've aided their search. And I think that's a real quick win. You could go through your video and just put in all those really important moments within your long video. And again, if you had loads of marketing resource, you know, you could edit it some shorts, or you could re-edit it again and get rid of the waffly bits. But if you don't have that, there are things you can do that would help people find your video and help people find what they're looking for.
Got you. So adding those chapters, those timestamps, better than necessarily editing the video. And it saves all the re-uploading and everything else. Sounds easier. When you say timestamps and chapters, am I right in thinking timestamps is the written bit in the description and chapters is the technical setup of chapters in the back end?
So there's like two, I mean, my team will kill me now because they do this every single day. So they'll be like, oh, you got it wrong. But if you have a look, you can put it in your description so they can click on about, you would write it down and they click on it. But you can also have it at the bottom, which is have the nice video. Like, sorry, people at home who don't have our video with me doing lots of finger work. So you can have a nice square of that point in time. And again, they can click on it. Again, it also helps index as well, because it just, again, it gives Google more information about what's in the video.
So it can be as simple as writing the timestamps out in the description and then YouTube does the work for you.
You can find it all in YouTube Studio.
Anything, Louise, we've not mentioned that the audience really needs to know about quick wins or things not to do or key things we haven't yet mentioned?
I think there's a couple. So thumbnails, again. So a massive thing for 2024 is YouTube have been beta testing ABC thumbnail testing. So before, what you'd do is you would just put up a thumbnail for your video and hope it works, right? So what they're doing now is you can put three thumbnails on each video and you can check which one works best. Now, that hasn't been rolled out fully yet. It's only been rolled out to a certain few creators, but they are saying it's going to happen in 2024. And I think that is a brilliant tool for marketers to see what works and stops that scroll on the home feed.
And how fascinating they've gone for an ABC test, not an AB test on day one.
Oh, I know, and tricky when you're trying to find a graphic that fits it for your newsletter.
I massively suspect there are some YouTube specialists and SEO specialists currently debating that at great length.
Oh, I can imagine the meetings. But yeah, it's such a good tool. Like, it's so cool to be able to, like, we talk about this all the time, is about looking at your analytics. Don't just shove a video up on YouTube and just leave it. Let's see what's working.
And you said there were a couple we hadn't mentioned, one of which was thumbnails. What's the other one?
The other one is community tab. So people often overlook YouTube as a social platform. So for instance, they're really, really pushing this sociability. So they're making a community tab on the home feed so that you can search just comments on or community posts on there, which is really cool. But it also allows marketers the ability to repurpose old content. So you can reawaken your subscribers or reawaken your old content. So you could be like, this happened. Oh, lawnmower season. The summer's out. Get your old lawnmower. And you can put that a link to that video. So it's just a really nice way to kind of get that content calendar out there and look at what content fits different times. So you could look at the year and see what where your videos could fit and help viewers.
Nice. Not an area I even realised existed. So
exactly.
Definitely learning. One thing which we've mentioned in passing, but we haven't mentioned properly, that I'm going to ask you about quickly is shorts. YouTube shorts, the mini videos that are a little bit like Instagram stories, a little bit like TikToks. Correct me if I'm wrong on that, but are they an essential part of a YouTube strategy now, or can we do everything else we've talked about and ignore shorts for the time being?
Oh, they're so useful. They're so good. Right. So they rolled out a few years ago and they are now massive. So there's 70 billion daily views on shorts. And what we find, again, when we try new business tactics and we speak to people and they're like, oh, I'm not bothered about YouTube. And then we realize that they've got a massive TikTok channel and they're creating all these TikTok videos. You can repurpose those videos on shorts and allows you to get into new audiences. So I just think if you have that content already, why aren't you using that functionality within YouTube?
That's a yes, everybody. You do need to use shorts. Okay, cool. Louise, that has been epic. Thank you so much for taking us through all of that. Listeners, remember to stay tuned right to the end, because coming up are Louise's insider tips on SEO and my suggestions for other free resources to help you improve things even further in your business. Remarkable Commerce is the UK's most flexible and configurable e-commerce platform, designed specifically for D2C retailers who want to grow their sales quickly. They're trusted by leading retailers like Moss, Ben Sherman, and Roman. Remarkable's key differences are full freedom of your front-end design and full control of which composable modules you wish to use. Very excitingly, they've just released this year's Digital Retail Index, a performance audit of nearly 800 UK retailers, ranking them by key technical metrics. To find out where you're ranked or submit your own site for analysis, go to keepopt.com/remarkable. That's REMARKABLE. So keepopt.com/remarkable for the Digital Retail Index. Okay, Louise, so far we've gone very, very deep into YouTube SEO. It's been brilliant. Now you get to ask with your insider knowledge about the whole of SEO. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with SEO, which of course does mean you can carry on purely talking about YouTube SEO if you want to. Louise, are you ready for these?
Absolutely. Go.
Okay, let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
I think it's your keyword search. So find out what your audience want. And then once you know that, you are armed to find out which videos you want to optimize, but also kind of know whether you do need to create new videos or whether you have the resource in order to do that. Once you know that keyword, then you can do the tactical things like update your titles, your descriptions, your tags, putting closed captions on there, all those tactical things that you can do for the videos that are right for your audience.
All starts with the keywords, everybody. Okay, once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
I think it's all about testing. So like most marketing, you can't just dump stuff out there and then sit back. It's all about kind of going, okay, did that work? Is this the right time? Trialing new things. And I think it's just looking at, like we said before about the thumbnails with the testing, the ABC testing, is find out what is working for you and whether you are missing a trick. So you find out that actually half your audiences prefer formats in shorts and you've only got two shorts. So that's knowledge that you can need and you need to put back into your marketing strategy.
There we go, guys. And there's so many stats on the back of Google Analytics to help you do all of this. Easy, well, not easy, but it's there. It's there for you. If someone listening wants to learn more, is there a cheap or free resource you would recommend?
Can I do a horrible plug?
Hey, you are the expert on this, and I expect the audience are going, we need more Louise. So yeah, please, plug away.
We do old school lunch and learns. So if you need some help, we go into offices and businesses, we do an hour's session, we've looked at your channel, and we come up with like tactical things that you could do. I mean, I'm not going to be silly. There is a reason that we do this, because hopefully you then go, oh, obviously you guys should come in and help us do this. But we are there to help you if you want that. So please get in touch.
So you're saying that if people get in contact, you would review their current YouTube and then come round and have lunch with them and tell them about it?
Yeah, obviously. Wow. If they've only got £2.50 to spend, maybe.
So it's a sensible, filtering
process. It's a sensible, absolutely.
And we have a lot of listeners who are overseas. I believe you do these via webinar.
We have done them even in Japan. So yeah, webinars, absolutely welcome. And again, it's just like, with the YouTubers, we get lots of people that go, why do I need to bother with YouTube? We do a lunch and learn, and then they go, oh my God, where do we even start? And so it is a really good starting point to see what's the opportunity. And they sometimes have to go back and have a look at budgets and things like that. So it's a good starting point.
Excellent. And if they want that, to just go to the website and fill in a form?
Get in touch.
Okay, brilliant. Yeah, definitely allowed to plug that.
Thank you very much.
Finally, it's crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
So I was thinking a lot about this. And obviously, there's been shoppable YouTube, there's been podcasts, there's this thing in the pipeline called Aloud, which allows you to create multiple languages for all your videos, which is amazing. So if you have a massive audience in China, but you speak in English, you can dub it over the top, which is fantastic. But for me, the biggest thing is AI. So Google is, you know, obviously the search generative AI experience, where you get a Google search and you get kind of like a nice snapshot, which includes relevant links. I think that's going to include a lot of YouTube video, because it's video is so consumed by people. And I feel like if that is the case, you know, we're moving away from chatbots and more into this kind of where you can kind of be a bit more certain about where the resources are coming from or the sources are coming from. I think it's really even more important to have your SEO on your videos up to scratch, because AI is only as good as the underlying data. So if your data is in place, then you're more likely to be like discovered.
That's two episodes out of two where the SEO crystal ball has been Google search generative experience, everybody. If you're not over it, clearly you need to be. I suspect we may well reach 4 out of 4, but each with a different angle on it. It's really interesting.
Well, there's a lovely video on YouTube about it.
Awesome. I will get Louise to give me the link to that YouTube video and we'll add it in the show notes for all of you later, so you can go and have a look at that on the website. Louise, it has been awesome hanging out with you and learning much, much more about YouTube SEO. If the listeners want to get in touch with you and your business, where should they go? How can they do that?
So we're Navigate Video, and so we're just navigatevideo.com, or you can email me, which is louise@navigatevideo.com, or if you want, you can do hello@navigatevideo.com.
Super simple, super straightforward. Louise, thank you so much for being on the podcast. It has been brilliant catching up with you and just awesome advice. I think you've given us all a massive to-do list, but a really good to-do list. So thank you.
Thanks for having me. It's been great.
Wow. How much did Louise just share with us there? Any of you who've got videos sitting around on YouTube, videos sitting around somewhere that aren't yet on YouTube, huge to-do list there to start taking advantage of such an important channel in consumers' buying behavior. And we didn't major on it a lot there, but which not only are you optimizing for the YouTube algorithm, you're also optimizing for the Google search algorithm because YouTube videos frequently appear in Google search as well. So there's huge, huge potential there. I mean, my notes sheet is rammed with stuff to do. I might have to share a picture of that when we start promoting it on social. So loads and loads of things there. For me, I guess if I was to drill it down to the key next steps any of you should be taking is, first off, go and have a look at doing the keyword research on YouTube to work out what it is the audience are searching for. What are the right terms? What is it your audience wants to know from you on the video platform? Then take a look at your own stats and the videos you've already got. What fits with the big opportunities? Start by optimizing that. Get the right keywords on the titles, on the descriptions. Add those timestamps into the description. Maybe even go as far as doing the clever stuff in the back end on those timestamps. Think about improving the thumbnails, because that's the bit where YouTube will just automatically put an image on the video. Put something more compelling, put something more useful that's going to help them there. And I thought the closed captions piece as well, YouTube will auto-generate some of those closed captions and then YouTube control those captions and use it to help work out who should see your video. So that's a bit of a no-brainer too. Then if you really want to take it up a level, do the info cards as well, which are those kind of flashes that happen on the video at certain time points to give people their next action. So here's the link to buy this product, or here's the fact sheet on this product or something. Loads of clever stuff there, and definitely worth looking at your back catalogue as well as creating new content too. And shorts, glad we asked that one at the end. Shorts definitely worth doing. And there's a million and one easy, cheap, cost-effective ways to create short style videos from your existing content if you want to do it. Whew, okay, you can get the links to all the stuff we discussed, the full transcript of the episode, important notes and more at keepoptimizing.com. You can, of course, use our direct episode short link. That's keepopt.com/ the number of this episode. Put that in the URL bar to go straight to the correct page of the website. When you get to the website, you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, then do check out all our SEO episodes, especially episode 198, which is the one just before this one, where we were talking about content creation for your own website with one of the Yoast team, including some brilliant crystal ball advice that also went into that Google search generative experience, which is not widely available outside the US, but will be coming soon. So we go into kind of some more of the ins and the outs of what that actually is in that episode, which is why I didn't get Louise to do it in this one. But we will be adding that video she mentioned that explains it all to her show notes too for you. You can scroll back up for that, or you can go to keepopt.com/SEO for all our SEO content. Please, please, please tell your fellow marketers who are trying to work on improving their SEO about this show, because I create Keep Optimizing to help as many marketers as possible to improve the performance of your e-commerce marketing. So please do spread the word. Have a great week and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Get your copy of Remarkable's latest digital retail index now, a performance audit of nearly 800 UK retailers, ranking them by key technical metrics. Find out your ranking or submit your site for analysis at keepopt.com/remarkable. That's REMARKABLE. So keepopt.com/remarkable for the digital retail index.